Shalom, welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we begin the third book of Tehillim, Psalm 73. The next 11 psalms are authored by Asaph, a psalmist we've already encountered in Psalm 50. In general, these psalms will be darker, exploring more challenging themes, issues of desperation, personal responsibility, and the pain of punishment. Psalm 73 is a treatise on the eternal question of theodicy. Why the righteous suffer and the evil prosper in God's world. Amos Chacham divides the long psalm into two sections, the problem of the success of evil, verses 2 to 16, and the attempt to present a philosophy which addresses it in 17 to 28. The psalmist includes himself in this discussion as he struggles with the heavy issues he encountered in his life. It begins with a statement of faith that God provides good for Israel. Mizmor la'asaf, ach tov li'Yisrael Elohim levarei levav. Truly good is God to Israel, to those who are of clean heart. Poetically, the verses are interesting since the name of God, Elohim, is used for both stiks, which means that on both, each this word affects verset 1, ach tov li'Yisrael, and verset 2, levarei levav. And therefore we should read it as good for Israel is Elohim, who is good for the righteous of Israel as well. The next verse, though, begins with the Va'ani, but I, and it contrasts the good with his personal perspective, his life experience, and the complicated journey he has traversed. He was envious of the evil ones who stood firm and saw success. They were arrogant, they scoffed. They set their words towards heaven and they mocked. Vani kimat natayu raglai ka'ayin shubchu ashurai. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had nearly well slipped. He's referring philosophically. Ki kineti beholilim shalom rishayim ereh. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Ki en chartzubot lemotamu veri ulam. The no pangs of death. Their body is firm. They're not in trouble like other men, nor are they plagued. So arrogance is their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Yatsa mechele ve'nemo avru maskiot levav yamiku v'idabu b'ra oshek mimarom yedaberu shatu b'shamayim p'yem ulshanam tihalach ba'aretz. Their eyes stand with fatness. They have more their heart can wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression, that they speak loftily, and then they set their mouths against the heavens. And their tongue struts through the earth. The problem of evil success is compounded when others see their fortune and come to join the parade, scoffing God and choosing hedonei. Lachen yashuv amo halom umei male yimatsulamo. V'amru echa yadael v'yesh de'a be'elyon hine ele resha'im v'shalve olam hizkush chayo. Therefore his people return here and abundant waters are drained out by them. And they say, how does God know? And there's knowledge in the Most High. Behold, these are the wicked who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. The Hebrew alliteration in the second half of verse 10 underscores the ambiguity of the phrase, umei malei yimatsulamo, meaning the full waters, the symbol of joy and completeness, become drained up or sucked dry. These scoffers call out mockingly to God, saying, does God know what transpires on earth? Does he watch the ways of the world? Ibn Ezra actually reads the verse differently. He suggests the people who say and ask are actually the nation of God, wondering in confusion as the righteous suffer and villains prosper. Does God not watch this? The psalmist seems to concur with the sentiment presented by the scoffers until verse 13, truly have cleansed my heart in vain. Washed my hand innocently. What am I being such a good person for? I end up stricken all day long. chastise every morning. Yamarti aspara, asapra kmo hine dor banecha bagarti. If I say I will speak this, behold, I should offend against the generation of your children. When I pondered how I might understand this, it was amal huveinai. It was too wearisome for me. It tired me. Until ad, the mire that is the philosophical conundrum of theodicy wears him out, as does us all, as it does to us all. He then goes on to attempt to provide some insight into his world and ours. Ad avol mikdashi el avina la'acharitam. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. The commentators differ in understanding the words their end, acharitam. Some suggest it refers to their ultimate demise in their lives. Maybe he saw in Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Others speak of the world to come in which they will fail. The subsequent verses strengthen his contention. Ach b'chalakot tashit lamo hipaltam lemasuot, echayu l'shama karaga safu tamu min balahot, kachalom mehikitz, Adonai ba'ir tzalmam destivzeh. Surely, God, you set them in slippery places, you cast them down into ruin. After all, this is what they deserve. How they brought into desolation in a moment, utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so, O Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Rashi explains the verse differently, this last verse. He says, as if a dreamer who never awakens from his dream and sleeps eternally, such will be their end. Just like the Assyrian forces experienced their end in Jerusalem while attacking Chizkiyahu. Radak explains it yet differently. Just like when a person wakes up from a dream, he remembers nothing of the dream, so too when they finish this world, they will remember nothing of their time in it. Ki et chametz levavi v'chilyotai yishtonen v'anivar v'lo eda behemot hayiti imach. When my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my insides, I was foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. Vani tamid imach achaz debiad yami, I was always with you, holding on to you with my right hand. Batatchat ancheni, v'achar kavod tikacheni, I searched, I sought your advice and followed your honor. Mili b'shamayim v'imach lo chafazti ba'aretz, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none on earth that I desire beside you. Kala she'ri levavi, tzur levavi v'chalki Elohim le'olam. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The psalm is very subjective. Asaf talking about his journey from God and towards those villains who seemed so happy, but his epiphany that their road leads to utter self-destruction and dissolution. He confesses his sins in verse 22, that out of his ignorance he was like an animal before God. Radak explains that the animal does not perceive the philosophical implications of God's actions. So too he, in his ignorance, did not consider God's true ways. Verses 24 to 26 show him submitting to God, putting his faith back in God, placing his lot with God forever. For behold, those who are far away from you, they will perish. You've destroyed all those who go astray from you. For the reason that he has placed his faith in God alone is the full understanding of the futility of the reason that he placed his faith in God, only God, is because of his full understanding of the futility of the villain's seeming success. They will perish, and therefore there's no value in chasing smokestacks of feigned fortune. Vani, kirvat Elohim litov. But for me, being close to God, that's all the good I need. Shati b'Adonai, Adonai, Elohim, machsi l'saper kol malachotecha. I have made the Lord my refuge, that I may declare all your works. The psalm concludes with his contrasting all of their ways. V'ani, but I choose closeness. The question of theodicy is addressed, but not completely resolved. He speaks of the sordid end of their lives, but we are unsure if he's referring to this world or the next. Either way, he does not delve into the details of his faith, but devotedly declares his fealty to God and his faith in where the path of God will lead him in his life.